up the Jana Gunter's picture? Okay. You remember her? Okay. She went to the Saudi Quora, Q-U-A-T-A, whatever that thing is. Anyway, she's in there and she sent out the list of the things that she and her co-workers need. The list, would you put it up, please? Not the other one? Meanwhile, is it up yet? Okay. Not him. There we go. There's movies they like, I guess they want to kill some time. If you can send the movies, DVD, VHS, whichever, most likely DVD, and do not send any already, do not send anything that you don't want your children to watch. I know they are grown up, but it's coming from church. So we don't want to send anything bad movie. And put it back. There we go. Thank you. And the rest of them, you might want to jot it down. Okay, guys, folks, by next Sunday, we want to send it out. We're going to package it, and the following week, we're going to send it out. So write it down, please. Write it down. Okay? If you can write it down, and let's get the thing ready. Am I off now? All right. Operation Christmas Child. We are going to put the package together for those children who don't have an opportunity to receive the Christmas present. So it goes to the third countries and many other countries around the world. We've done this. Karen, how many boxes did we do last time? Around 200. Okay, we're going to go for 400. Can we do that? Yeah. All right. Good. If you need more information, there's a brochure. I was at the in the front of the, what's that place? Lobby. Anybody lost Bible? It says Rio Rico Class 2005. All right. If you don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand, please? Keep your hands up. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hands up, please. Usually that's kind of, anything drops on the ground is a mine. And also, if you don't have a daily bread, if you don't have any devotional book, raise your hand, please. We'll give it to you. You need a daily devotion. Some of you might have baptized when you were a kid, and you got baptized without realizing what it means. Baptism is a personal proclamation, your alliance with Jesus Christ. If you are not having baptized, it's time to get baptized. And you walked away from God for quite some time, and you want to rededicate your life, and you want to be right with God, and you want to proclaim that you are with Him, then it's a good time to get baptized. The baptism date is October 9th at the Sutton's home. We'll give you more information. Turn your Bible with me to 37th chapter of Genesis. Are you hot? Sorry, I cannot do much about it, so get over it. I had to ask. 37th chapter. Some of you know that I have an older brother in Seoul, Korea, who is a neurosurgeon. And some of you guys know that he is the brain of the family. I'm the black sheep of the family. And he's one of those sick people who get A+ all day, all the time. But compared with him, I get a variety of letters in my report card. My teacher liked me so much, they even gave me F, stand for fabulous, fantastic, with emphasis when red letter. See, when it comes to school stuff, My parents favored my brother. They thought that he was the best thing ever happened since the slice of bread. And when it comes to human being, they preferred me because he was stuck up snot and he knows it all. You know, typical brilliant people do that kind of thing. Even though there was only two of us, there was a tension. If you have a sibling, you know what that means. If you don't have even raised without sibling, boy, you are spoiled. Anyway, there's a natural tendency of the tension between the siblings. When you have 11 kids, 11 sons and one daughter or more, naturally there is a far worse. I heard that a family with many kids, if they don't get up early enough, they don't get to have a breakfast because those who got up ate everything. So that's a common thing. So there's to have a tension and the favoritism within the family. Jacob, he was stupid. He should know better not to have a partiality or favoritism toward his family. However, he did. Because he should know better that his brother Esau and himself had a problem. His father loved Esau. His mother loved him. And because of the favoritism, there was a big problem, and we all studied that portion, and there was a deception and complete dysfunctional style of family happened there. Now, with this family, 11 sons and one daughter, they came out of from two wives, two concubines. There's a jealousy, there's a lust, and there's a hatred. Now, it's going to blow to the maximum, and we are going to see that in human wickedness. Jacob was asking for the family trouble, and which brought the conspiracy to murder and the deception and human slavery. Yes, God used all these awful things to bring the glory to himself. Joseph is the man. Now, we are going to study from the chapter 37 all the way to the chapter 50, exception of chapter 38. Everything is fine. They see that it's about Joseph. And this man, Joseph, is the kind of person who rised up above all the odds. See, he's the kind raised from the nasty family and broken dream and impossible circumstance. But he propelled himself to the place from dungeon, from the slavery, to the pinnacle of power because he believed in God, not because of what he did, because he simply believed in God. That's something we can learn from him. And from 37 all the way through the 50th chapter, we are going to learn about him depending on God for everything. And he was not relying on his own power. I divide the life of Joseph in three ways. Number one is Joseph's start, birth to age 17, that we find it from there. During the time, he found four women, two wives and two concubines, competing against one another and for father's love and attention. Of course, again, that started jealousy and hatred and problem within the family. Second portion of his life is Joseph's struggle, age 17 through age 30. As Joseph entered young manhood, there's a contention and jealousy brought the slavery and rejection and imprisonment. During this 13 years time, God was chiseling him to be the leader of the nation and leader of two nations. Third phase is Joseph's success. From age 30 until he died, 110 years old, for 80 years he was receiving blessing after blessing from God. Why? Because he was solely relying on God's power. Verse 1 of chapter 37, we will pray. Holy Father, that is our desire, Lord. We want to learn your word that we may depend on you for everything. We want to seek your face. We want to seek your will, not our own. Who are we to demand that what we want from you? We want what you want. Teach us, our hearts open to receive your word. And we also pray for our troops around the world. We ask you to watch over them. And we also ask you to watch over our law enforcement personnel and the firefighters around this community and Tucson and Sarita and Green Valley area and the Elephant Head, all surrounding areas. Keep them safe. And whatever the difficulty they go through that difficulty, they may come to know Jesus. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Joseph brought bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And not only that, he was the son of Rachel, his beloved wife. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Joseph is a kind of pampered favorite son of Jacob. But however, he is the hated one by his siblings. He doesn't mind tattling on his older brothers to his father at all. When we just read a bad report, in the Hebrew word, it's called snitch, where we get the English word snitch. Just kidding. Our word display of this kind of thing is the tunic of many colors. What was the big deal of a tunic of many colors? Was it some sort of the funky, technicolored coat that we would see with young people? No, it's not. Okay, during that time, anyone to have a color on their clothes is almost next to impossible unless you pay extra money for it. So they had just a mute color, earth tone, most of the time. And the clothing they used to wear, that overcoat or the tunic known as, is just about 10 foot long and made a hole in the middle, put it into your head, and tie around your waist. So it goes down to your, somewhere between the ankle and your knees. So when you go to somewhere, then you have to spend overnight in the field, that become your blanket. That was the style, and that means that you don't have a sleeve, so you cut off from like this. However, this man Joseph had a tunic with the sleeves. In other words, you cannot work with that kind of clothes, and it went all the way down to his ankle. That means this person is set aside. He's a princely authority. He is authority of the family, and he's not supposed to work. As is, this brother's 10 sons didn't like the Joseph being loved by his father, their fathers. On top of, to make it matter worse, like in-your-face thing, this guy is walking around with the colorful clothing, with the sleeves on. That means he doesn't have to work like the rest of them. So they hate him for it. Let's continue in verse 5. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brother. And they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we are, the binding a sheaf in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. Indeed, your sheaf and stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. This is a little snot. Don't you agree? And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, and shall you indeed have a dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dream and for his word. Did you notice that when we have a little children, they wouldn't go take a nap during in the afternoon, and they would want to go to bed early in the evening. They will fight for it. But as soon as they become a teenager, you cannot get their eyes open long enough. They wake up late, and they take a nap, and they take a sleep during the class, and they come home and go to bed early. What's up with that? Joseph, being a teenager, he loved to sleep, so he had a dream. He has said, I have a dream. See, what he is lacking is he's lacking in tact. He could present this, he could tell them, but he didn't have to do it that way. But he, if that was not bad enough, he came up with another one. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have a dream, another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bow down to me. So he told it to his brother and his father and brothers, and his father rebuked him, said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I, your brothers, indeed come down to bow down and come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept this matter and kept the matter in the mind. If Joseph was unwise to tell them about the first dream, and this is, and knowing that how much he irritated them, this is a complete stupidity for him to talk about the second dream. Joseph is, we will know more, study more about that. Joseph is compared with Jesus Christ in typology many times. This is not one of them. This is going against what Jesus would say. Jesus came down to earth. What did he do? He came to serve, not to be served. Correct? So he was doing against, he was contrasting. When Jesus is other person-centered, for Joseph, this case, he was self-centered. Verse 12. And his brother went to heed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, Israel, that is Jacob, are not your brothers feeding the flock in the Shechem's? Come, I will send you to them. And so he said to him, here I am. Then he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks. Bring back the word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. So a certain man found him, and there he was, wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? He said, I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And his man said, they have departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So the Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Would you put the map up, please? Okay, down here is Hebron. This is the Hebron Valley between the two mountains. And he went all the way up to Shechem, which is about 60 to 70 miles. And from here to the Dothan, which is another 20 miles. So from home is between 80 to 90 miles. There's quite a distance. Why am I talking about this? Joseph left home with something. We'll find here in verse 18. Now, when they saw him far off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say that some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hand and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay hands on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. Remember, he had a tunic with many colors. Tunic of many colors. See, he didn't have to wear that to travel 90 miles or 80 miles to 90 miles. But he chose to wear it because, again, as I said, he was a little brat. And while he was traveling, when he was standing at the horizon, brothers saw him, and they were already conspiring to murder this brother. This tunic is almost like waving the red flag in front of bull. This is not a wise thing to do, but he chose to do it. Reuben was the firstborn, and he's supposed to say, brothers, you are not supposed to do that kind of thing. You are not kill our own brother, not on my watch, over my dead body. If he was a man with a strong character, he would do it, but he was not. As later in chapter 49, we will see that Jacob said about him, his description is perfect. You are unstable as water. He wants to do the what is right for Joseph, but same time he was not alienating himself from the rest of brothers. Let me make it this way. Some of you guys dealt with. You ought to know better. You want to do what is right in the sight of God, so you come to church. But on Monday morning at work, you laugh at the dirty joke and you enjoy part of it. And you participate in. And you go do the things that what you're not supposed to do. Please don't. Either you're for God or you're against God. You cannot go in between. I said this last Thursday. The popularity between the world and Christ, you cannot coincide with both sides. If you are popular with the world, you are unpopular with Christ. If you are popular with Christ, you are unpopular with the world. It's an inverse ratio. You cannot be popular with both sides. You have to choose one side or another side. Later on, we'll find out more about the Reuben character. Remember what he did in the last chapter? He had the incestual relationship with one of his father's concubines. So the matter is worse. Verse 23. So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic and tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked. There was a company of Ishmaelites coming from the Gilead with their camels, bearing the spices and balm and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So the Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brother listened, and the midnight and night a trader passed by, and so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for the 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph out of Egypt, Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. And he returned to his brothers and said, "The lad is no more, and I, where shall I go?" The comment made Joseph by Judah is kind of pretty much like this. There's no sense in destroying the perfectly good merchandise. Why don't we make money out of it, since we are Jews, right? So that's the idea. Some of you got it, didn't get it, that's fine. Joseph's brother might have the perverse pleasure tearing this tunic of many colors from Joseph's body. Folks, listen carefully. Satan has the pleasure to take the assurance of God from you. He enjoyed that. God said he will take care of all your need according to riches and glory. That means what it means. That's the assurance from God. Don't doubt it. Devil will do anything to tell you in your ears, don't listen to him. God will not keep you. God will not keep his promise. Or if you do something wrong and you want to come back to God and ask his forgiveness, and the Satan will tell you, you're no good. God will not forgive you. Don't listen to him. Don't let him rip off you the assurance that comes from the Father in heaven. God said he will not leave you nor forsake you. He said his promise is true. If we come to him and ask him to forgive our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Does it mean the consequences will go away? No. You will face consequences, but God is with you. These brothers, they sat down and have a meal. While their own brother is crying out from within the ear reach. Most time, the distance the voice travel without any particular, like this kind of public address system, It travels about up to 25 yards. With a natural ear, they can hear well. After 25 yards, it's hard to hear. See, that means within 25 earshot, they were hearing him and they were enjoying their meal. Do you know how long it took? The yell and scream of Joseph went from their ear to their heart. It took 20 years. Folks, if God speaks to you, don't let it drop in at your death ear. Let it sink into your heart. It doesn't do any good if you have a Bible knowledge up here. It must come down a foot lower to your heart to do what he says. The more Bible knowledge you have, and the less you do, you are accountable for what you don't do. Remember, there's two kinds of sins. Sin of commission, sin of omission. Sin of commission is the one you do, when I do. Sin of omission is the things that we are supposed to do, but we don't do. Verse 31. So they took Joseph's tunic and killed the kid goat and dipped the tunic in the blood. And they sent the tunic of the many colors and they brought it to their father and said, "We found this and we have found this. And do you know that whether this is your son's tunic or not?" And they recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. My wild beast has devoured him without a doubt. Joseph is torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes and then put the sackcloth on his waist and mourned for his sons many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted and he said, "For I shall go down to the graves to my sons in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to the Potiphar, the officer of the Pharaoh, and the captain of the guard. Some of you might say, this kind of wickedness in the family doesn't happen. Killing each other is within the family. It only happened in Israel and many centuries ago. Really? How about this? 1995, some of you guys remember Susan Smith. How many of you guys remember Susan Smith? She put the two little children, one infant, one, I think, a 4-year-old kid, put it in the back of the Mazda sedan. And she drove that thing and then let the sedan go into the lake and drowned both of them. And you might say, "Well, that's an isolated incident." No, it's not. How about 2001? Andrea Yates, who drowned all 5 children. Folks, this is human wickedness at its worst. Don't think that you are not capable. I am capable. You are capable. Only the reason why we don't choose to do that is because we are saved by the grace of God. When the circumstance is right, we would do the same thing. Just imagine your sibling grab you and tie you and toss you in the pit. And you screaming your head off and ask him to help you. And while you can hear they are laughing, and sometimes the morsel of bread coming into the pit, and they say, "Well, if you're hungry, eat this." And all of a sudden, the rope come down. "Oh, they're trying to save me." So you climb out, and they grab you and shove you against this person whom you've never seen before. And they're the traitors. So they grab you and tie you and shackle you and behind the cart. And you walked miles for many days, many weeks. And you end up in this foreign country. They don't speak your language. You don't know one person from Adam. And all of a sudden you're sold to somebody, some great official of this land who can kill you with a flip of finger. And then realize there's no hope. As a slave, there's no hope. And all the time, you're 17 years old. That's the situation Joseph is in. These brothers came home. Before they came home, they killed a kid goat and dipped the tunic of many colors in the blood. And they brought it to the father and said, well, we found this. Remember this incident? Jacob. This sounds familiar to you, right? Jacob did exactly the same thing. Killing this kid goat, and the mother made savory food for his father. And put the goat skin on his arms and back of his neck to pretend like his hairy brother Esau. And deceive father. Now, Jacob is the one who is being deceived by his own sons. Because of a problem within the family. Galatians 6:7, please. Galatians is located within the New Testament, right behind the 2 Corinthians, right before Ephesians. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sow, that he will also reap. Folks, if you're lying, it will come back to haunt you. If you're doing something wrong, it will come back to haunt you. Jacob lied to his father. Guess what? He's being lied by his own sons. Now, let's go back to Joseph's situation. Maybe you are in the Joseph's shoes. Seems like everything was going well. All of a sudden, your bottom drops out. Something happened in your family. Something happened in your workplace. Something happened in your relationship. And you are going through this difficult time, and you're wondering if God ever knows. And you pray your heart out to God. And somehow the door of heaven is sealed tight, and God is not listening. And God does not know. If that's how you feel, Satan is trying to rip that assurance of Father from your heart. Don't let him. God is with you. God allowed this kind of difficulty to come to you, to your life, so that he may strengthen you with this training. I have this gym set at home. It's kind of like a bull flex, you know, one of those things that you're supposed to do this. Do I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger? No, I look like a toothpick. The reason why I look like a toothpick, not like that guy Matt over there, is buff that guy, is the reason is because I just bought that thing and just let it sit there. Somehow I'm thinking that if I look at it several times a day, maybe I'll become buffed up. It works better if I do it, right? It takes a tremendous effort for me to get on there and actually work it out. Training, exercise requires our time, our effort, sometimes pain. Let me repeat one more time. Training that makes us better requires pain. You know what they say. No pain, no gain. If you want to be closer to Christ, you have to go through a difficult time. Our own nature will not be like Jesus Christ. We have to be more like Jesus Christ. The only way we can do it is going through a difficult time. And there's no such thing as a super Christian who will become Christ-like instantly. During the difficult time, he chiseled us to be more like a shape of Jesus Christ. Let's make applications. Number one, no family is exempt from the adversity. So if you're going through the family problem, you're not the only one. Look around. The rest of the people here have a problem. There's no place in this fallen world than one who can escape from trials. The one who will help us will give us the refuge and give us the strength. By the way, if you close your Bible, open it back up right now. Don't ever close your Bible until I finish. Second application, no enemy is more subtle than passivity. No enemy is more subtle than passivity. Passivity is not a patient, it's not a long-suffering, it's not something God wants you to have. Mom and Dad, if you don't handle your children's discipline, forget about the human psychology. What the Bible says, discipline your children. If you don't, you will have a monster in your hand. Forget about this human psychology with the self-esteem. That's full of garbage. We have too much self-esteem. We have too much ego and pride problem. When the children is doing wrong things, mom and dad, listen up and follow God's word. Discipline your children with a calm heart, and mom and dad agreed together. If you don't, that child will divide you, guys. One of the big reasons why the people, husband and wife going through divorce is children's discipline problem. I'm not saying they beat your child until the pulp. That is wrong. But little boom, whack on the boom boom on kill that kid. Discipline your child. Third application. No response is more cruel than jealousy. No response is more cruel than jealousy. If you let the seed of jealousy in your heart or your children's heart because of partiality or whatever, you are heading for trouble because it will destroy family unity and harmony. Jealousy is one of the most effective and powerful arsenal of Satan. It always starts with a little resentment. Whether it's jealousy between the husband and wife, jealousy between the siblings, or whatever, jealousy is a problem. If you don't agree with me, look at it. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6. That's why I told you not to close your Bible. Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is located right after Ecclesiastes and Isaiah in the Old Testament. 8:6. It reads, "For love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as a grave." See how that is? Jealousy as cruel as grave. "Its flames are the flames of fire." Most vehement flame. All right. Next verse is I'm quoting from the New American Standard Version Bible. James 3:16. "For the jealousy and the selfish ambition exist, except there is a disorder and every evil things." Keep that in your mind, please. You might say, well, God said he is a jealous God. That's a different kind of jealousy. Jealousy for that he doesn't want you to go get involved with other gods. He wants to be the only God you have in your heart. That's what he meant. Let's stand up and pray.